Welcome to Courage Cocktail. I'm your host, Leanne McClymont. Thanks for tuning in. It does take a measure of courage to manage growth. Managing and measuring success is one thing, but planning for it is an altogether different measure, right? Today, I've invited two guests to help me build your Courage Cocktail. Yes, both gentlemen work in the Raleigh-Chapel Hill Triangle region of North Carolina. However, their stories hold meaning far beyond the Carolina Blue. Here's a backstory of how real people animate the local government and serve a municipality. They are the fibrous tissue that holds together the energy and the planning process of the future as it spells out across nations and cities everywhere. Main Street is the new Wall Street. The local lens and the local engines that support a significant part of our nation's economy are here. How does peering into the local level of government help us see the future? Why, let's find out. Let's refine the role of economic development officers and the local experts who diligently bring order to the chaos of growth. I'd like to start our show off today speaking to Mr. Derek Miner. Derek Miner is the Manager of Innovation and Entrepreneurship in the Office of Planning and Development for the City of Raleigh, North Carolina. Welcome to Courage Cocktail.
Thank you, Leanne.
Now, Derek, I'm dying to talk to you, but so our listeners know, there is another guest patiently at the microphone with him. This is a gentleman called Dwight Bassett. Dwight is our Economic Development Officer in the City of Chapel Hill. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Okay, so let's start back on with the Raleigh story here. It's a tale of two cities. Now, when you go out to your website, Derek, there's this great sense of decentralization. You know, the whole digital portrait of Raleigh is multi-layered. Your launching page includes many logos and many different links to websites. I'm going to give my listeners a flavor of those websites. There are six of them. The Raleigh Economic Development Partnership, the City of Raleigh, the Visit Raleigh, the RADA website, the Downtown Raleigh Alliance, and the Raleigh Economic Development. Well, at first this all got me confused because I saw these voices competing, but then I perhaps realized that that voice is too big to contain in any one site, and the energy conveyed in this presentation may be the real story. Tell me, what do you think? Have I figured this out, or am I just totally confused?
No, I think you're exactly right. There are so many voices that play a role in you know, the different areas of economic development within the city of Raleigh. And I think, you know, hearing from our external customers, there was a bit of confusion prior to the partnership being formed and the website launching as to, you know, who does what, you know, within the city. So that the partnership itself was really to pull together all of the key players and partners within economic development within the city and have, you know, one central landing page that folks could go to that could then take them, you know, to the respective websites of the various organizations, you know, whether it was focused on, you know, development in the downtown, you know, arena, whether it was, you know, citywide, you know, development and planning, whether it was, you know, historic and new market tax credits, you know, implementation as some of our partners have, you know, visitation and tourism. So that was really trying to be, you know, that one-stop shop for economic development for folks that came to the city to say, hey, you know, I'm kind of confused initially coming into it because there's so much to do, so many players, you know, can we have a one landing page that can then take us to the respective partners?
So I'm getting a sense that you're wearing like a referee outfit here and a big whistle, not necessarily a badge and you know, anything else, but the sense is that there's so many organizations, public and private. I think I'm getting the sense of many of these are private organizations, kind of, you know, dot-coms things that are really centered around promoting, doing business, visiting Raleigh, and then all of a sudden you land into the world here and trying to get it sorted out somewhat.
Well, the you know, the city's very big on collaboration and on partnerships. You know, public-private partnerships are you know, are a big thing. I think it's, you know, the government can't do it on its own. You know, it's that mixture of, you know, government and business and academia, and you know, the local citizens kind of rounding everything out to really, you know, be able to drive, you know, Raleigh, you know, as well as the region forward. So collaboration and partnerships is really the key, you know, to that. And that's, you know, that was, you know, really the genesis behind the partnership in that way, was to really coordinate, you know, all those partners together.
So when I think about this, and, you know, I don't know much about city planning, so this may sound as a simple question, but when I think about the work that you're doing, you, in your website, I noticed it's very specific to small businesses and entrepreneurs. So you have a very specific edge to the kinds of programs and efforts that you do from 9 to 5, or from probably more like 9 to 9.
Yeah, there you go.
Can you tell us about that? How is it organized?
Sure. Well, you know, for my specific position, innovation and entrepreneurship, you know, manager, my focus is on the entrepreneurs and high growth companies, you know, within the city of Raleigh. There's estimated 40,000 businesses throughout the entire city, and there's an estimated 3 to 5% of those businesses are considered high growth companies, basically the main job creators within the city, which is still a substantial number. I mean, that's still, you know, 1,200 to 2,000, you know, companies estimated throughout the city that are the, you know, the main job, you know, creators within the city. So my focus is on, you know, essentially identifying, you know, those guys to understand exactly, you know, who we have, what we have, you know, what stage of life are they at, you know, within their company, and then trying to figure out what are their needs. You know, is the city or is the local ecosystem, you know, providing the resources that they need to not only, you know, sustain kind of where they are, but to help them grow and prosper within the city, you know.
So you're taking this one step forward. You're saying not only do we want to attract these kinds of people, individuals, to make the investments to grow a business here, but you want to make sure that they stick around.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's you know, homegrown businesses are very important to the city. You know, from when you look at you know, an ROI, you know, perspective, return on investment, you know, it takes a lot less money to, you know, to keep, you know, companies here. You know, we love homegrown companies that, you know, want to call, you know, Raleigh, you know, home. And that's really my core focus, is that primary retention, you know, and expansion piece of it. We want to keep the companies that are here and find what we need to, you know, find to help them grow.
Have there been any surprises along the way that you've been doing this kind of organization, trying to make it more fluid?
You know, I'd say the biggest surprises are just the sheer number of companies within the city. I mean, it every couple of days I seem to run across, you know, a new company that's not even necessarily it's new to me, so it's not even necessarily a new company that just, you know, spun out of the university. It's, you know, a company that has been there for, you know, 3, 5, 10 years in some cases. Mm-hmm. That, you know, they've you know, hit a pivot level in their growth, and now they're scaling up exponentially, scaling up their product for distribution, or scaling up their workforce, and they've been there. They've just been operating, you know, almost in a silo. Yeah. So uncovering these new companies and uncovering new entrepreneurs that have been there, and engaging with them is pretty exciting, because it's, you know, they've been there and they've been paying, you know, local, you know, employees and, you know, local taxes. So it's just great to, you know, to uncover, you know, those new folks, almost kind of peeling back the layers of the onion, so to speak.
Wow. So I can't imagine that discovery process must be very fulfilling for you, but also it might make them feel like, oh, wait a minute, there are other people who, you know, solved this problem before me or in the same kinds of problems. So that would be a very collegial kind of a relationship, I would think.
Exactly.
Particularly if they're not in the same competing business.
Right, exactly. And even if they are in competing businesses, I think just a new level of camaraderie, you know, being able to just engage, you know, other entrepreneurs and other business owners that are doing, you know, similar things, maybe have, you know, similar problems that they can go grab lunch or a coffee or a beer with. And just catch up and you know, continue to build into the local community, which is just so important, especially from a culture perspective.
Right. Well, speaking of that culture, and before we move into investigating and talking about Chapel Hill's world, you raised a point there that I'd like to ask, which is the relationship you build with the university. And the university in Raleigh is the North Carolina State University, NC State, and it is a driving force for innovation in your region, in your
city. Absolutely.
How does that relationship work?
You know, historically, it's been somewhat separate, you know, from the city. I mean, you know, NC State is obviously, you know, in Raleigh, but there hasn't been the, you know, the collaboration and the connection, you know, and we're going back 5 years now that that we truly needed to accelerate growth. That has changed substantially, not only from the top down being, you know, city council level building, you know, building relationships with, you know, chancellors and vice chancellors. So the leadership communicating together, but even at the ground level, you know, I spend quite a bit of time over at NC State. They have an entrepreneurship initiative. So engaging the students that are there, you know, determining, you know, what are the resources that they might need either at the current time or once they, you know, exit from the university. So it's really kind of building it from the, you know, ground up, kind of top down,
it sounds
know, sort
like,
of an approach.
It sounds like the time you spend there, you're really seeding, putting something in a pipeline here. Stick around. You know, these kids that come up with these ideas, don't move away.
Right.
We're
right.
here to help. The ground
exactly.
truth.
Exactly. I mean, we uh-huh. want, you know, if at the end of the day, once they do graduate, if they want to start their own company, we want to help, you know, facilitate, you know, that connection to the, you know, to the private sector, so to speak, or to the outside world once they leave the university. If they want to go and work for another company, that's awesome. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But if they have that inkling to say, hey, let's, you know, we really want to, you know, launch something here and kind of give this a go, you know, we want to make that as easy as possible for them, whether it's connecting them to spaces. I mean, I invite, you know, all the students to a number of events that are happening throughout the area, just so they can begin to even connect with entrepreneurs that have already built businesses that they can then kind of mentor with and those sorts of things. So it's really almost kind of, you know, vetting out, you know, their own ideas and that process of self-discovery that happens when they engage with, you know, other like-minded entrepreneurs, maybe, you know, just 10 years down the road.
Well, okay, we're going to circle back because that's a huge topic. But I would like to now talk about the Tale of Two Cities, and that includes the other city, which is beautiful Chapel Hill. And that is a way of introducing Dwight Bassett. Dwight serves as our economic development officer for the city of Chapel Hill. And I want to explain to the listeners that the entire economic development narrative for Chapel Hill has really been cast over generations of plans and projections. The most recent incantation is a 60-page report called Chapel Hill 2020, and that outlines and refines aspirations and inspiration of this lovely and unusual college town community. The emphasis in the work at Chapel Hill is based on three letters: evaluation, assessment, resources. Chapel Hill's culture is a studious one, and that interprets history, and it conspicuously manages its image in real time. And what does all this mean, Dwight? Tell me, Dwight, how do you see your role, and how is it slightly different than its city over there called Raleigh?
Well, it's tremendously different. First off, Chapel Hill truly is a town and gown community, whereas Raleigh has NC State and a much bigger city. They also have, as Derek mentioned, 40,000 businesses. Yeah. And while we have a lot of businesses here, we don't have 40,000. And we've had pretty limited growth from our business side. So we primarily are a town with a university centered right in the middle of it. So it really changes the context and the conversation. And for many years, you know, when you think about the impact of Franklin Street, this gives you a really good example. You know, Franklin Street is not there for the residents and students of today. It's been there for the residents and students for the past hundreds of years. And those initial memories that happen on Franklin Street, there's a twinkle in the eye that you can watch every fall when the new freshmen arrive and you see them stepping off the curb knowing they've left mom and dad behind. It's an intrigue, it's an investigation, it's an educational opportunity. And that's a lot about what this community has built itself as. And so we have kind of always wanted to preserve that sense of who we are. And part of why we've been fairly limited in our growth over the past 30 years, and only do we arrive at today to realize, you know, 5 years ago we woke up and said, you know, we've never put a lot of effort into growing our business community. We've got an imbalance in our tax base. We look at comparative cities across the U.S. and you know, we're nowhere near even a median mark or an average mark from a commercial tax base standpoint. And, you know, the tax base is high for our residential, you know, citizens. And so we need to think differently about how to approach that so that we can, you know, sustain ourselves in, you know, to future generations.
I just feel like you've poured a huge cup of courage here. Or perhaps I should be pouring one for you. Because the very fact that there's a fault line between a college, town, and gown community and a tax base that's in balance with commercial and businesses, you know, this could be a tough kind of campaign to launch. How do you do it, Dwight? You're smiling.
Well, it's kind of interesting because, you know, everybody thinks Chapel Hill is unique, and it is. And let me give you an example of why it is unique. So if you pick some college towns, let's pick Ann Arbor, Michigan, Boulder, Colorado, and Athens, Georgia.
Okay.
And you look at those three other college towns that have the strong kind of sense of town and gown relationship. All of those other places have a employment base outside of a university campus. And ours is really insignificant. If you look at the employment numbers for Orange County, it really is UNC Chapel Hill, UNC Healthcare, local government, which includes Orange County, school system, and then a lot of, you know, smaller businesses. You know, Blue Cross Blue Shield has their North Carolina headquarters currently based on 15501 in Chapel Hill, and they employ about 950,000 people here. But outside of that, there are no significant, you know, numbers in Chapel Hill proper of employment bases. And so that makes us sort of an oddity from the standpoint that, you know, everybody else has spent some level of time over the past 50 years thinking about, you know, businesses and employment opportunities and balancing who we are. And we've not spent a tremendous amount of time. We've spent a lot of time trying to preserve the sense of who we are. And now we're at a crossroads where we've got to think differently about our future in order to maintain who we are, you know, for future generations.
Well, while you were speaking, and you gave me great visuals, I need to explain Franklin Street is the main straight street in Chapel Hill.
Absolutely.
And on this road, how many miles is it? Is it a mile and a half?
About a mile and a half if you come all the way into Carrboro.
If you walk all the way. So it's a wee little section of a road, but it's a commercial road. And
yes,
on one side is, the university is now bubbling up all over the side, but essentially the core campus is on the one side.
Yes.
And so on the street, when we talk about Franklin Street, we're really referring to the central artery,
yes,
of this community. I couldn't help but think, Dwight, when you were talking about, well, you know, I wouldn't say one-trick pony, but for lack of a better expression, the university represents a significant, the most significant business employer for,
yes,
the region. We think of Manhattan. And the reason I say that is Wall Street really defined without crystal clear what the industry was about New York City. We like to think of it as fashion. We like to think of it as a much vaunted place for art and other great stuff. But when I really examine it, what really drives Manhattan is Wall Street.
Right.
And that's slowly changing. That city's becoming more aware of Silicon Valley and more technology, but it's emerging only now. So you're describing a process that is happening in other cities, I imagine,
right?
But that might be uphill. How do you assess, like, what kind of investments do you need to make to invite a different dialogue?
Well, we spent the first year I was in Chapel Hill, we spent a year having a conversation with council trying to clarify their interest in economic development. We created economic development strategy, has six key strategy statements. And that was sort of a foundational point. And there are six incredibly important points. Three of them, for example, are grow the commercial tax base, create jobs, and foster a stronger town and gown relationship. So once we adopted that in 08, we began trying to foster that with UNC Chapel Hill. And you begin to look at that university, and you begin thinking about, well, where do I interject? Do I go in through the chancellor's office? Do I go in through the computer science office? Do I go in through the, you know, medical school? Where do I intersect to begin to create opportunities for bringing some of that talent as it grows out into the community and building a stronger network relationship for future opportunities? And it takes years, unfortunately. UNC Chapel Hill is a rather large institution, and there's not one central point of contact when it goes to, you know, innovation entrepreneurship. Each school has its own way of handling it, and so it's taken years of fostering that to begin to build a different kind of relationship. But we also began talking about how we work together in general about a lot of other issues, and I'll give you a great example. Post that adoption of the economic development strategy, we had a Town and Gown working team, and the vast majority of the members from the university have changed in the last 5 years, and unfortunately, we haven't figured out who their replacements are to continue that team. But there were a lot of little projects, like we did a wayfinding project as an outgrowth of that Town and Gown initiative, and that's actually how the big blue signs arrived all over town, telling you how to get around, and it was just an outgrowth of, you know, building a stronger Town and Gown relationship and what are the things we can do. You look at successes, the UNC Chapel Hill Carolina North development agreement process. That was a very different planning process. And we've tried to build and foster because we know that they are an economic engine for us, but we've never attempted to capture the output from that economic engine. We've just said, okay, fine, it is what it is. Wherever it lands. We're just happy living here and enjoying the culture that is created by being a part of this community. And so now we're at a destination where we need to try to capture some of that output for our own benefit.
And how would you, where would you place the responsibility? You know, how do you get some kid or group of people who, you know, coming out, spinning out a company out of UNC, you know, how do you keep them in Chapel Hill? Why don't they just wander over to someplace else?
Well, and that's a really great question. Durham has done an incredible job over the last 10 years of building a brand of innovation and entrepreneurship.
I know I get a lot of those invitations.
And, you know, a couple of years ago, I worked for Rock Hill before coming to Chapel Hill.
Now, where is Rock Hill?
It's in the Charlotte region. It's the southern tip of the Charlotte region. I forgot what I was talking about. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Good question about how do we get those kids back here in Chapel Hill? Stick around.
And so Rock Hill was doing an inner city visit to Durham and asked me, since I had worked there and knew the city manager, assistant city manager, and economic development director, if I could join them. So I did. And in getting the dog and pony show from Durham to help tell what they're doing in innovation entrepreneurship made me realize that they're benefiting from our economic engine tremendously. And we've never done anything to try to capture that back. And so it had been on my mind for years. And we had talked to the university about how to do this. We tried to create a co-working incubation place several years ago, and there were general statute reasons of why we had a difficult time doing that. So several years ago we had recruited a company from Silicon Valley, Three Birds Marketing. They came here, they were nothing but the two owners coming into town. Convinced them to not go to Austin, Seattle, Miami, but to come to little Chapel Hill, because part of the interest was they wanted to capture the talent output from that economic engine that we're talking about. So they came here and they had grown to 65 employees, from owners to 65 employees, needed to grow another step, and they were bound by an existing lease and were having a difficult time finding space. They were also being vied for by Durham, who was offering free parking if they come to their downtown and participate in their place. And so we knew what we were competing with. So I went back to town hall and began having conversation with the town city manager, Roger Stansel, and said, excuse me, this is an opportunity to facilitate the growth of a company and for us to begin to think about building this innovation and entrepreneurship brand. So the town of Chapel Hill initiated a conversation with Orange County. We agreed to sublet this space to help facilitate them staying here. Then we went out to the university and said, we've got this 3,500 square feet. It's not huge, but it's a really cool space on Rosemary Street. We want to bring it to the table for innovation and entrepreneurship. What would you do with it? So the university then went out and from a private donor raised $500,000 to support this. We call it a venture lab. It's called Launch Chapel Hill. To fund it for 5 years. So it's a six-month tenancy for new companies that want to start up and do business here, but it's an accelerated program where they have to go through classes. They can only occupy the space either on a co-working or an office space arrangement for 6 months, and then we've got to figure out what stage two and stage three to continue to retain those companies now that we're beginning to build that brand. As Derek can tell you, it's a very long, arduous process to get people to constantly think about doing business with you and making sure that you're offering the services that support them staying in this environment and doing that.
You've blown me away in so many levels by that story. That's a great story, because what you're really saying is your next door neighbors. It's like having a big apricot tree on a piece of property way over there on the edge of your property. And you find yourself saying, feeding the tree, taking care of the tree. And then all of a sudden, wait a minute, somebody out there, where's my apricots? So I get what the perception of how we are able to, the university does a beautiful job. In fact, both universities do, I know firsthand, that they create wonderful product. And our intellectual capital and our creative capital is really the source of this renaissance. We recognize, many of us, at this turning point in Raleigh and the Chapel Hill region, that we've been in a renaissance. And how do we maintain our momentum? And that is in large part, is it a safe place to live? Can I afford to live here? Are my kids going to be safe? You know, these are all the mommy questions. But remember that at the end of the day, if we build safe places to live, people will come and stay. And that's where this fault line begins to emerge, I see. So what I'm going to make a suggestion at is this. When we come back to the second part, we're going to talk about together, get both of your opinions about intellectual capital, about the way that you guys see the movement here and maybe 2 years from now, and then lead us up into kind of the bigger lens of your professions, because I see them as admirable and honorable, but ones that take a great deal of soul to make happen. So stay with us, and we are going to go and for a little break.
The Town of Carrboro Art Committee in Carrboro is pleased to announce the opening of a new exhibit in the Century Arts Center Gallery on Wednesday, May 1st, 2013. The exhibit titled I Am Saved features work by Kimberly Pierce Cartwright, a local artist who experiments with a wide variety of media. I Am Saved will run in the Century Center Gallery from May 1st through June 30th. An opening reception will be held on Monday, May 6th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. in the Century Center. The opening includes light refreshments.
Welcome back to Courage Cocktail. I'm your host, Leanne McClymont. Glad you could join me today. You are listening to WCOM LPFM. That's 103.5 on your dial. And I've joined together to produce a show today called The Tale of Two Cities. We're trying to understand the people behind the economic development offices in Raleigh and in Chapel Hill. The future of the Triangle depends largely upon how we view, manage, measure, and plan for continued growth. So we're very fortunate to have these two gentlemen on our show today, Mr. Dwight Bassett from the Chapel Hill, City of Chapel Hill, and also Derek Miner. So I'm going to ask you both, and I'm going to start with Dwight. Dwight, tell me a story. Tell me a story about a small business that made it in Chapel Hill.
Well, there's so many great stories to tell you that it's such an easy task. But I have one that just I think is an amazing outcome. 4 years ago, there was a little company based in Carrbar called Strata Solar. They were five employees at the time. James Harris, the Economic and Community Development Director for Carrbar, called us, a bunch of us together, and said, they need to grow. I have no space to accommodate their needs. Can you facilitate this? So we helped them. They relocated in a building across from Southern Village and got them through the processes and got a sign up and everything. And the amazing thing is to remember, 4 years ago, they were a company of five employees. Today, they are a company of approximately 465 employees, roughly, are roughly $500 million in sales. And again, I still struggle with the zeros behind the five. But to think that that was nothing but basically a local startup with a lot of passion behind it, they're projecting that next year they will surpass $1 billion in sales. And I'm satisfied that means probably 1,000 employees, and they're looking to grow here. But again, it's a local startup. It's our local energy creating those opportunities. And that's the economic engine that comes from being the kind of community we are. But we've just allowed that external output to flow elsewhere over past decades. And it's having someone in this position who can facilitate keeping them, retaining them, and helping them to grow as they have need. But those are the greatest stories. They're, to me, you know, there are great stories across the nation in economic development. Most of them, unfortunately, mean that you picked a company from somewhere else and got them to relocate. And this is nothing more than truly having a community garden and allowing it to flourish by providing the right dirt and fertilizer and the right environmental conditions for it to happen. And so that's what I see Strata Solar as, is a really great example of what we can be as a community if we will just simply foster the output that comes from who we are as a community.
That's just a delicious story. I love the whole local garden, because, you know, those local boers, those people, local eaters, they have changed the shape of history.
Yes.
And we have turned upside down models that were in the past built like a pyramid. Everything has to come from the central office in some other place, and then hopefully get pieces in the local markets. We are growing our own here, and I think that that's true with our audience across the country. So Dwight, when I listened to you talk about the Strata Solar, you talked about Carrbar, and for our listeners who are not local, and there are many of them, Carrbar is a little municipality inside Chapel Hill. How does that work?
Technically, it's a separate municipality with its own corporate limits and governance. We participate on some issues together. We work together on traffic issues, affordable housing issues, transit issues. But it's very independent in a lot of ways. And Chapel Hill's roughly 60,000 population. Carrbar is 17,000 to 20,000 in population. So metropolitan statistical area, probably 80, 85,000 people.
And the reason I wanted to draw attention to our listeners to that little fact is the bravery it took for that one individual to call the big guys next door to say, help!
Right.
That inspires, you know, I was always taught it's the primacy of human relations.
Absolutely.
That affect a course of history.
And you've got to accept the fact that we're non-competing interests, and that we all have an interest in retaining or doing something together to get beyond that point and say, how do we work together to foster this?
And you had the foresight to say, wow, let's try to build you some space here. Let's try to keep you here. And I think that is really describes, hopefully, a pattern now going forward with these startups and also with companies who have been here a while who may want to just grow here.
Absolutely.
So now let's move this channel over to Raleigh and area. And Derek, I asked you to come along and tell us a story about a small company, big company, and how they were able to use your region to grow.
Sure. This is a story of a local entrepreneur by the name of Jesse Lipson that about 10 years ago started a company called ShareFile. And at that time, he started the company in downtown Raleigh. And that was actually before downtown Raleigh is what it is today. You know, that was back when, you know, I think probably nobody wanted to be in downtown. They had just completed kind of a visioning plan for the resurgence and revitalization of downtown, but it had not yet been implemented. And at that time, Jesse started in a, I think it was 500 square foot, space in the Glenwood South district of downtown, and essentially just grew that company organically over an 8 to 10 year period. Didn't take any venture capital money. Grew everything kind of just bootstrapped, and the way he tells it, the larger he got, the farther away from downtown he started to get. So you start off in downtown, and then as he grew, the amount of spaces that were available to accommodate him became less and less. When I first actually engaged Jesse or met those guys, it was probably about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago now. There were approximately 50 employees at that time, so they had grown quite a bit. But because it was organic, obviously it takes a little bit longer to ramp up workforce and things like that. And unbeknownst to me at that time, they were actually in conversations with Citrix as a possible suitor for the acquisition. But when I met with them, there were about 50 people, and I think they were adding maybe 20 people per month. So I mean, they were just really, really ramping up their workforce and essentially running out of room. So at that time, I was with the Downtown Raleigh Alliance, and I was talking to them about, hey, we'd love to have you guys in downtown. What does that look like? And the conversations began there. Well, once the Citrix acquisition took place, they then had the resources to truly grow at an exponential level. So then we started to look at, okay, so what are some bigger opportunities to move ShareFile, which is now a part of Citrix, to the downtown? What does that look like? They started to have discussions on some property in the warehouse district of the downtown, which is they ended up identifying some surplus buildings that were held at that time by the Triangle Transit Authority as a potential building for the Grand Union Station. TTA realized that those are surplus buildings, so they ended up selling those buildings to Citrix, essentially, or to a developer that was doing basically a build-to-suit for Citrix. And now that project has a total estimated value of maybe like $35 million. They're actually, their estimates now that their employee, when they first looked at the project, they were thinking 500 to 550 employees. Now they're thinking closer to maybe 800 to 850 employees long term. The really, really neat part of that is that the CEO of Citrix is actually an NC State grad, Mark Templeton. So when he came back from for the ribbon cutting for the kickoff of the building, his wife was telling me that they were driving around the day before, and he was pointing out places where he used to pump gas when he was in school and things like that. So you just have that really cool community connection back to the city of Raleigh and back to his alma mater, being NC State. And we really think that was kind of the icing on the cake of why Citrix really kind of decided to make that investment in downtown. And the really neat kind of side note to that is that Jesse Lipson, who is now the GM of the ShareFile division for Citrix, is also an investor in the new co-working or shared entrepreneurial space in downtown called Hub Raleigh. So through that acquisition gave him the means and the ability to say, hey, you know, I'm now going to kind of invest into the next generation of entrepreneurs that hopefully come through, you know, Hub Raleigh, that we can, you know, nurture and grow and provide more resources than Jesse probably had from more of an intentional effort, because back then the city did not have, you know, any sort of, you know, strategy around innovation or entrepreneurship. And he made it. So how can we accelerate that for, you know, companies like ShareFile that maybe want to go to that next step? You know, maybe they want to go public, or maybe they want to be acquired, you know, by a larger company and, you know, keep a large presence here. But, you know, we want to enable him to do that. And that was kind of his give back by investing in the Hub, which is great. I love seeing entrepreneurial leaders, you know, step up and, you know, have their give back, you know, to the community that they probably wish they had, you know, back when they started their companies.
But I'm sitting here, and listeners, I'm smiling. And the reason I'm smiling is this. I don't even think that Derek recognized this. When you told me that story, did you realize that you were talking to a future investor in Hub Raleigh a year and a half ago when you were talking to him in another function, you know, as the, you know, person representing the Downtown Alliance?
No, had no clue.
No clue.
In fact, the Hub at that time, or at least the Hub Raleigh concept, wasn't even an idea, you know, at that time. I mean,
exactly.
there were folks talking about, hey, it'd be great to have an entrepreneurial space, but, you know, we didn't know, you know, what the actual framework of that looked like. So it was great, you know, that he and his wife, who's also an entrepreneur, both made an investment along with, you know, two other investors. And you know, now the Hub has roughly 35 companies, about 50 to 55 entrepreneurs, and really serves right now as kind of the center for entrepreneurial activity, you know, within Raleigh.
Is this similar to what Durham is doing over at CED, or is it?
You know, it's similar, but again, it's different, right?
Because, okay.
You know, that's the one thing about, you know, about Raleigh is that we were never, you know, a headquarter for large tobacco companies. So we never had, you know, a million square feet of, you know, of really cool, funky, you know, warehouse space. You know, our warehouse space was limited. And, you know, as Dwight knows, at that time, you know, all of the warehouse spaces, you know, at least the ones that could potentially be used, were owned for a future transit project. So it's, you know, it's really difficult to, you know, to kind of get, you know, an entity like that, you know, has a vision for future transit to agree to say, hey, this is, you know, this is a surplus, you know, you know, buildings here.
Which really brings us into this aspect of this conversation, which will be, that was all about a relationship that you happened to build in good faith with a young entrepreneur. That's about relationships. And that happened to mature over time and manifest itself in a vision of a building or a Hub Raleigh. But it really began with somebody looking at you, Derek, and saying, you know, this guy's interested in keeping me healthy. Well, let's see what we can do together. And that is the answer to seeing how these things genuinely unfold, is a degree of integrity and authenticity in seeing it to its end. We may never know where these things end, but beginning them is really what's essential.
Absolutely.
So speaking of relationships, I want to talk a little bit about how you guys know each other. And listeners, this is going to really make your show. Please tell me, Dwight.
So back in September of 11, the city of Raleigh decided to open up and create a new economic development manager position. And went on a national search, and I ended up applying, not knowing that, you know, when I first learned about it, whether I was interested or not, it just seemed like, you know, why not? I'm in the region. It's worth exploring. So I explored it, ended up getting hired by the city of Raleigh last February, went to work there in March, and worked there for 7 months and began building a new economic development division in planning and development for the city. One of the things that happened as a part of budget negotiations with the city council and the mayor last year was they began to see the need that I had begun talking about to create an innovation entrepreneurship position. And so they set aside some dollars for the position and said, write a job description, talk to us about what the position would do. and we'll go ahead and give you these dollars. And so they did. We began advertising for the position in July, I believe it was. Derek applied and was one of the finalists, and I ended up hiring him for the Innovation Entrepreneurship position. It's really kind of amazing story, and if there are any other finalists listening, I apologize up front, but Derek wrote a book, and I have to tell you, when I look for other professionals in the field, I applaud people who are able to bring their passion to the table, because unfortunately we arrive as we get older in life that we have to set that aside and just say, I've got to have a paycheck, and I have a belief that I would like to try to hold on to it as long as I can. And I saw that in Derek. He really believes in what he does. And while, he hadn't spent, 15, 20 years or 5 years or even 10 years in a specific field that led him to innovation entrepreneurship, he had spent it in development, which led him to a great foundation and footing to go into this field. But more importantly, he brought passion and enthusiasm for the work to the table. And anyone who would go to the kind of trouble he went to write that book, to tell the story of why Derek Miner would be great in this position. I knew when I compared the applications who landed on top, but I had to go through the process and filter it down. But, anybody that would go to that much trouble to tell you why you should hire them should be hired, in my opinion, because it's a rarity.
All right. So, Derek, now, and you're turning a little pink right now. I have a question.
Sure.
What made you write the book?
I just, I didn't want there to be any doubt.
And there was a
certitude.
I believed so strongly in the position. While I was at, the Downtown Raleigh Alliance, a big part of my job was engaging the entrepreneurial community within downtown. And in doing so, I fell in love with, the local entrepreneurial community. I fell in love with, how can we, continue to foster growth within these companies. But I also realized that, downtown, while it is the city center, it's also only one part of a much larger city. NC State, for example, while it's still close to downtown, it's not literally located within the downtown district. So I realized that, a lot of my efforts, could be, exponentially grown throughout, the entire city, by engaging entrepreneurs throughout the city, regardless of their, of their geography. So I just became so passionate about, hey, I truly believe that by, filling this role, I can hit the ground, running from day one, which I did. I was actually, the day I started, I was at an event at 7:30 in the morning, an entrepreneurial event. So it was like, I kind of jumped in with both feet, and I just knew that it was what I was called to do. And it's been awesome. It really has.
And now I understand. So you go ahead and you hire Derek. He writes a book. Very clearly you hired the guy. And then what do? You take off and leave in seven
Come
months?
Come back to Chapel Hill.
Good Lord. Unconscionable. You gentlemen are still friends. Now, how does this work?
Well, we had built a really good working relationship. It didn't take but probably 30 days with me being in Raleigh that I identified Derek as someone that was a great partner, a great collaborator that I needed to build a really strong relationship with. So we had had coffee, we had had lunch, we had done a lot of things, and James Sauls at the Chamber is in a similar position. And so we just had a great relationship, and we knew we liked working together. We both had, similar mindsets.
Perfect. Now, I know you brought up those words, and time is of the essence, but I'm trying to understand one last aspect of your work. I understand your relationships with the raw material, intellectual capital, human capital. I understand your relationships with your government, your city of Raleigh, city of Chapel. Can you help me understand your relationships with the Chamber of Commerce? How does that work? Maybe I'll talk to Derek first.
Sure. Yeah. No, I'd be happy to start. So the city of Raleigh actually has a formal partnership, a public-private partnership with the Chamber of Commerce going back to, I believe it was 96, so quite some time. And they contracted directly with the Chamber to handle all of the external marketing and recruitment for companies and talent to the city. And the reason they do that is, there's an initiative called Wake County Economic Development, which is completely private, sector funded. So the city said, hey, if we give, X amount of dollars to The chamber within this partnership specifically for Raleigh, we can leverage Wake County's dollars. So, you know, if there's a contract for $200,000 for Raleigh's efforts, you know, if Raleigh can then leverage Wake County's efforts to drive more attention and, you know, and traffic and companies to the city, then it's a good use of, you know, of resources. You know, the chamber has the ability just with, you know, their private sector donors and things like that, just to do a lot more than, you know, than just the city's dollars itself, you know, could do in that regard.
I see.
But that was the only part of economic development that the chamber was focused on. And until, you know, Dwight came on and started building the Office of Economic Development under the city of Raleigh proper, there, we didn't have, you know, literally did not have an economic development department within the city of, you know, 420 or so thousand people. Everything was contracted out, and it was just one small, you know, component of it. So when Dwight came on, he did a great job of quickly, you know, building out, you know, a really good infrastructure within the department, including my position, including Frank Olofsson, who does, you know, business advocacy within, you know, companies that might get hung up in the inspections or the fire code process. I mean, he was very strategic putting together the fabric of the department, which has just been great. His legacy lives on. So
it's very visionary of you to acknowledge that you needed to have, in a 420 employee world, to have an economic office, development office. I commend you for that. But I need to understand your role now and how you relate to the Chamber Hill Chamber of Commerce.
Well,
how does your office?
It's interesting. First off, when council first decided to fund this position back in 06, I was hired in 07. The chamber was a big advocate in making that happen. They knew that we were at a critical crossroad in the community and that we needed to look at things different. There needed to be a voice that spoke that language and understood that. And since then, you know, we've got a sort of really fuzzy gray line that we work together on things. I think that the chamber and their staff are great partners in a lot of instances. They cover some territory that we don't and can't. They have a membership base that they're obviously loyal to, and sometimes they can hear from their membership, and it's not always the same words that we get to hear. So I think it's important. They serve an initial contact role in a lot of instances. They serve an advocacy role for very small businesses, and also can show up to council and advocate for issues like sign ordinance changes and other things that help to facilitate doing business here, and that's not a role that I could obviously play as a city staff person. You know, it's more of an external role. And so they're a good partner and have been since day one in helping us slowly move forward. We began a conversation about 6 weeks ago about if we actually took the pie of economic development and looked at it, what are the roles that we all play? And that conversation included Orange County, the Downtown Partnership, the Chamber of Commerce, and the City of Chapel Hill, from the standpoint that, you know, we think we could do a better job in managing it if we would start being very specific with the role that we each should be playing inside of that bigger picture of economic development. So we just have initiated that conversation recently.
Well, I appreciate your thoughtful answer to that, because I understand now that you know, media doesn't always flex its muscles in the way it did 15 years ago.
Right.
We don't have a local newspaper necessarily resources to understand the flow of information between city government and the population.
Right.
So I see the chamber as being the first on line for getting real good, accurate information that helps us understand what is the city thinking about, where are they going. So your explanation now really helps that in our listeners' ears nationally understand, because these crises do not exist just here in Chapel Hill, Carrboro.
That's right.
But overall. So it points to that line of communication again between city governments and also their chambers and all the other wonderful things. Now, we've got to wrap up. I appreciate your joining me today, both of you, the considerable amount of effort it took you to come down to my office here at the studio and spend some time with me. And I want to appreciate that. Thank you. But do you have any final thoughts for what it is you're doing and where you're going?
I think one of the most important things from my perspective and from Chapel Hill perspective is most people think when you're in economic development that you want to drive your interest alone. And most people that take the time to get to know me as a human being understand that I have a very broad and deep value system, and I can appreciate the interest and ideas that people have, but I also like to look at things holistically, and so we don't allow just social or environmental to be a two-legged stool, but we add in economic and make sure that we have a sturdy three-legged stool for a physically strong future.
Well spoken. Tell us, Derek.
I think from my perspective, from Raleigh's perspective, I'm just looking forward to the growth of the region. You know, I definitely do not see this as a zero-sum game. You know, there do not have to be any losers necessarily throughout the region. You know, when obviously I'm paid, you know, by the city of Raleigh to focus on Raleigh, but I always go into that with the mindset of how does this, you know, positively impact, you know, the rest of the region. So, you know, having a great relationship with Dwight, you know, having good relationships with partners in Durham, as well as, you know, how does that translate into, you know, the other 14 or 15 municipalities throughout the region? How can we work together as, I guess, somewhat of a family to grow this region, you know, within the next, you know, 10, 15, 20 years to be a top five center for innovation and entrepreneurship throughout the country. I know it's a bold vision, but there's several entrepreneurs throughout the region that have said, hey, this is, you know, this is what we want to do. So I just want to play a key role in that and work with Dwight and other partners to make that happen.
You do realize that wonderful comment by Virgil, right? Virgil Aeneas, he wrote, "We won, they won because they dreamt they would win." Hmm. So head on. Keep on going. Bravo to you both. I'm so grateful for you joining me. I want to thank you for joining us. I want to thank our soundboard engineer, Mr. Bill. But I need to thank our underwriter, the Triangle Swim School of Cary, North Carolina. They learn more at their website, www.triangleswimschool.com. I look forward to being with you next week. You bring the lunch, and I'll bring the courage cocktail.